It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest for this morning is Pastor Tim Patterson. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Doing great. Glad to be here.
Amen. I'm so appreciative of your willingness to come and share the Word of God.
My privilege. My privilege.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get it posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln, located here in Elk City. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, I want to encourage you to reach out to Barber Dyson. They can find you what you're looking for. And we did have some technical difficulties yesterday, so we did not get to complete the word from Pastor Dwight with through the Truth broadcast. So we will try to do that again today, y'all. He is not in the building. However, whenever the program is ended, we will cut off the iPad, get the information back on there, and restart the iPad and try it again. Mm-hmm. I think I covered it all, sir. Would you please pray to start us out this morning?
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this time that we have together, this time to get into your word, to be strengthened by your word, to put your word in our hearts, Lord. And we know that that your word is our final authority. It's sufficient. And we thank you for your word today. We ask that you bless the ears to hear, every heart to receive. Let lives be changed, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. I really like your title this morning, Benefits of the Believer.
Benefits of the Believer. In Romans 5 is where we'll be reading from today. The first five verses, and just kind of a preface to what we get into in Romans 5. In chapter 4, Paul is writing about the just shall live by faith and justification through faith, that it is a faith that is a result of that salvation is a result of grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. Mm-hmm. It's not anything you or I can do that saves us. Our works are as our righteousness is as filthy rags. We're not going to show up someday in heaven and say, I made it here because I gave so much tithes, or I made it here because I fed so many people who were hungry. Those are great things, and you should do those things. You should pay your tithes. You should help the homeless and feed the hungry. You should. But if you're depending on those for salvation, you're going to be greatly disappointed. And because that's what Paul had said. He said, where's boasting? When we get to the other side, there is no boasting going to be happening. We're going to say, I'm here because of him. The only reason I'm standing is because of him. There will be no boasting. Our boast will be in him and in him alone. So if our faith is in anything else, then we have a rude awakening. But we see Abraham, the principle of faith lived out in Abraham's life, who before the law was ever brought about, he believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. It says towards the end, in verse, talks about the promise that was made to Abraham, that he would have his seed would flourish. Verse 13, and it wasn't through the law, but the righteousness of faith. And what we have to understand is, so Abraham believed God before there was ever a law. And here was Abraham. If you struggle with your faith, don't feel bad. All right. There's a big difference between struggling in your faith and leaving your faith. Abraham wasn't always Abraham. He was Abram, which meant Mighty Father, which, if you know your Bible, he had no children. Talk about an insult. Oh, man, your name's Abram. That's great. How many kids you got? Not a single one. But my name's Mighty Father. And then God makes him a promise and says, all right, you're no longer going to be Abraham. You're going to be Abraham. Or no longer going to be Abram. You're going to be Abraham, which went from Mighty Father to Father of a Multitude. Man, talk about struggling with your faith. God, I already was struggling as it was. Go. Now you tell me I'm the father of a multitude? I don't even have a single... You know who's going to inherit everything? My servant. But the Bible says that he believed God and he counted... verse 17, when he said, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God. And this is talking about God. God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. It wasn't Abraham calling those things that were not as though they were. He was trusting in the God who does. And so when, and J.B. Phillips says something along this line, he says, when we come to our human impossibilities of why, how, I don't know how it's going to happen. There's no way. We have so many questions. We have all these human impossibilities and reasons why it shouldn't be us. Reasons why I can't do that you're calling me to do. I can't. No, there's just no way. There's no way that this promise could ever be. But when we come to our human impossibilities and we exhaust those, all of our excuses, then we have to measure them against the divine impossibility. What's the divine impossibility? Well, number one, it's impossible for God to lie. Mm-hmm. It's impossible for God to fail. And it's impossible for God to start something that he's not going to finish. So if God calls you to it, if God brings you to it, if God is working, if God, he will not fail. It is impossible for him to fail. And it's impossible. If he made a promise, he's going to keep it. It's impossible for him to lie. He is not a man that he should lie. All the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. So this is the preface to Romans 5 of talking about justified by faith. And so that leads us into verse number 1 of chapter 5, where he says, therefore. And one man says, whenever you see a therefore in the Bible, you better find out what it's there for.
Come on.
All right? So therefore, or because you're justified by faith, this is benefit number 1. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege that we, who at one time were dead in our trespasses and sin, we were doomed for hell. Judgment was against us. But because we believed in Christ, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are people that don't know the Lord, that are not saved, and they say, oh, I'm at peace. I have peace. They may be at peace at this moment, but their peace is the equivalent to the person sitting on the Titanic when it first goes out, sitting on the lounge chair drinking the champagne. They're at peace at that moment, but the ship is going down. Amen. Peace without Christ leads to destruction. It's a false sense of security. You have to know Christ. And here's the joy of it. When you know Christ, even when you're going through trial, you can still know peace. Because no matter how big the storm, no matter how large the iceberg, you know the captain of the ship, and he never leaves his post. And you know that he is the anchor that you're holding on to. So we have peace, not just at peace, but I'm at peace with God. I'm not, because before, I was an enemy of God. Mm-hmm. I was his enemy. We were at war with one another. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, we're now... I'm not an enemy of God. I am an heir. I'm a son of God. I am a joint heir with Jesus. Amen. And that what he said, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to as many as believed on his name. So we now have peace because we're not an enemy anymore. We're a son. What a privilege to know that that's our number one bit of our first benefit is we're at peace with God. But because we're at peace with him and now we're a son, because we've been made righteous with him through his son, benefit number 2 says, we by whom also we have access by faith in this grace wherein we stand. We have access. So in your past, so for your past, you have peace. It's under the blood. For your present, you have a privileged opportunity to go before the throne daily. He says, come boldly before the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And we're not talking coming boldly before the throne arrogantly. Don't be dumb, all right? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, if you think you can go before God and say, God, I command you to give this, that's very arrogant and very, very dangerous. We're not going to God in arrogancy saying, you give me this. That's like what the prodigal son did. He said, you give me what is mine. And, well, in truth, nothing should be ours. So it's by the grace of God we have anything. But when we go to him, we're not going there in arrogancy. Let's say, if you will, America ran out of gasoline, which, you know, that's a whole thing we won't go into. I'm not a political person, so I'm not going to talk about it. But let's say all of America runs out of gasoline, but there's one place that has all of the gasoline stored. And that's the one place you can go and get the gasoline to fuel your vehicles. Say one place in every state or whatever it might be. But one place within your proximity that you can go to and get gasoline. Are you going to go up there and say, hey, man, give me some gasoline? No, because this person has the right to refuse service to anyone. I mean, that's store policy, right? We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone. You don't go up there in arrogance and say, hey, man, give me some gas, expecting that you can just do whatever you want. No, you come humbly and say, hey, listen, I really need some gasoline, and you're the only one within my distance that I can get it from. And so when we go before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help, we're coming before him saying, God, I'm going through some things, and you're the only one that I can call on that I know that can meet my need. And so I'm coming before you. And I love how one man put it this way. There was a young boy went to try to walk into the king's palace one day, and the guard met him at the door and sent him away and told him, you know, get out of here, you little pauper. But he hung his head and walked away. But as he was walking away, another young man walked up and said, young child, where are you going? He said, well, I was going to go try to see the king, but I couldn't. He said, well, you just walk with me and we'll go see the king. And he was like, okay. So he just walks behind this guy. The guard steps out of the way, salutes. They walk right up, and sure enough, it was the Prince of Wales, which was the king's son. And he said, hey, Dad, how are you? I'd like you to meet my friend. That's the access we've been given. Our righteousness couldn't go before him. He clothed us in his righteousness. You don't go before the king dirty. You make sure you're cleaned up. I mean, you just think about it. If you're going before royalty, you might want to look your best. Our righteousness is his filthy rags. But through faith in him, because we're justified in him, we have access. We're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So we're brothers and sisters in the Lord, walking up to the king's throne together, knowing who is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, that says, Dad, I've already covered I've already paid their cover charge. They're covered. Everything they need, I've got it covered. So we come before him, and nothing's too big, nothing's too small. To come before him, you know, if it matters to you, it matters to the master. And so don't be afraid to bring him what you think might be little. Don't be afraid to bring him that, because it might be that little thing. He may feel honored that you even considered that, that you would even bring that to them. He's not one, you know, some people, they dismiss your problems. You know how some people are. Oh, you tell them about your issue, tell them something's going on. Well, let me tell you about what happened to me yesterday. And they listened, but not to hear. They just wanted to listen to respond. That's not how he is. He's not ready to just dismiss you and say, why don't you just go put on, why don't you suck it up, buttercup, and just go on your merry way. No, that's not God. He knows where you're at. He's willing to hear it. But also, don't be afraid to bring in the big problems. One man went before the king, and he had a very sizable request. And he said, King, he very humbly said, this is what I need. And the king said, give him everything he needs. And they said, what? We can't believe you're doing that, king. He said, he honored me with the size of his request because he trusted that I was the one that could meet his need. What? And that's what we have. We have been made rich through his poverty. He became poor that through his poverty we might be made rich. So we have access. I'm getting stuck right there. Just knowing that we can go before our king at any time, at any place. You don't have to wait till church on Sunday. You can have that little talk with Jesus anytime. He'll hear your faintest cry. There have been times that you ever had those moments, all you could do is probably cry. I remember when I was a teenager, one of the hardest days of my life, my grandpa passed away. And I'm not one to really, I'm an emotional person, but I try not to just let my emotions just go. But I remember going home that night, laying down on my bed and just bawling my eyes out, saying, why, God? I was just with him in the garden 2 days ago. Why did you take my grandpa away? He was my best friend, him and my grandma. But God heard that. God knew where I was at, and he comforted me through that. I didn't lose my faith. I knew where grandpa was because grandpa lived out his faith. And grandpa had a mindset. Grandpa was at peace with God. He really was. Just to know that we have access with God. But not only do we have access, but benefit number three, it says, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have peace for our past. We have a privileged access in our presence. We have a promised hope for our future. Eternal hope, or rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. To know that one day, he's going to take us home. To know that one day we'll sit in heaven, we together will take our crowns and throw them at his feet and worship him and say, you are worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. To know that we'll see the streets of gold, we'll walk the streets of gold, we'll behold the mansions, we'll be worshiping God for all eternity. To know this glory of God that now can be completely revealed to us. We've seen glimpses of his glory. When you got saved, what a glorious moment. That was God's glory. There's moments that we saw glimpses of God's glory, but we cannot see the fullness of his glory yet, but the day will come that we do. And you want to talk about a retirement plan, man. You can't get better. There is no 401k can't match this. And here's the best part. I didn't do anything. It wasn't like he matched my payments to the 401k and said, all right, this is what you're going to get. No, he covered it. I had to receive it. It's not. And so we have this eternal hope by grace through faith. It is not anything that you and I have done. So the benefit of the believer is that we have a hope in our future. And because we have that hope, that gets us into benefit number four. Because we have these three things, peace in our past, over our past, an access in the present, and a hope in the future, he says, and not only so, wait, there's more, right? Don't you love those infomercials? Wait, there's more. I always wanted to see one about the three wise men, you know, when they said, we brought gold and frankincense. But wait, there's myrrh. Little humor for you today. But he says, there's more. Because you have these benefits, we glory in tribulations, also knowing. Wait a minute. You just used a bad word. You said tribulations. Who likes that word? Nobody likes that word. But he says, we glory in these tribulations. And why do we glory in them? Because we know that tribulation works patience. None of y'all have prayed for patience recently, I know. None of us have. If you have, you said, Lord, give it to me now, right? But tribulation works patience. And patience, experience or character. And experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So when we look at patience, glorying in the tribulation, one person comes to mind that we can, and we see it throughout Bible, but very familiar story, is that of Joseph. A man who had a lot of promise, a lot of hope. He was a visionary, but lo and behold, his he was subjected to human trafficking. What an evil thing. And I know people ask the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, we can stop at the good people thing because we really know none of us are really good. None's good but the Father. We're all sinners. We're all, some are better than, some are worse sinners than others, I guess you could say, if we want to categorize that. But without Christ, we're all in the same boat. And so when he looks at this, and when we look at Joseph, he was what we would consider a good man, a righteous man. He loved God. But even those people that love God go through things. Life. It's not, some things it's not necessarily the devil's out to get you. Some stuff is life. Sadly, because of sin, original sin, it brought about some terrible things. Death, sickness. Sadly, it hits all of us. But here's the joy of it. And this isn't listed in the benefits, but there's a reason that one of the writers was able to say, oh, death, where is thy sting? Because I have a hope eternal. I have a glorious hope. The benefit package is that death is not the end. It's only the beginning. Go ahead. Go ahead. You know, just threaten me with death. And I don't, it's not like I'm wishing to die tomorrow. I've got a family to raise. I love my children. I want to invest in them. But I know where I'm going. And that's the best. So because we go through these things, patience works experience or character. Joseph went through trial, ended up in a pit, got sold into slavery, ends up in Potiphar's house, gets falsely accused for an illicit act, ends up in prison, but he maintained his character. Sometimes in life, you know, you may lose your coat, but keep your character. You know, Joseph fled that scene, and he was falsely accused, but it was a false accusation, and in the end, God brought him up. Maintain your character. And so when we go through these tribulations, it builds character and character hope. Because he was a man of character, he never lost his vision. And because he was a man of a character, he was able to look at his brothers and say, what you meant for evil, God turned into good. And that's a hope that makes not ashamed. He said, you know what? This is going to sound really weird, but thank you for what you did. Thanks for throwing me in a pit and selling me into slavery. I really appreciate it, because I know the devil meant it for evil, but God turned it into good. And because of that, this is a hope that makes not ashamed. I'm able to save your sorry souls. You know, I mean, he said it a little nicer than I would have. You know, y'all are the reason I'm here. And it's a good thing, because I'm able to save you. And so when we see the benefit of the believer is that we go through tribulations, we go through trials, but we have a hope that maketh not ashamed, because we know that all things work together for the good to those that love God and are called according to his purposes. And that's why Peter was able to write and say, think it not strange concerning the fire trial concerning you. It's a good tribulation. Be careful what you call a bad thing, because it might be God doing some good in your life. And that's hard to swallow. I understand. I mean, there's things that have happened in our life in the past year that we thought, man, what, you know, oh, here's your 90 day, or here's, here, you know, here's a notice, here's this, you know, and it's like, God, we don't know what we're going to do, but God's blessed and God's worked, and we're able to be a blessing to some other people. We've able to do different things now. And it's just a blessing what God can do. Sometimes we look at the things that happen in our life and we think it's all bad. We think if there's any friction, any conflict of my interest, then it's a bad thing. Well, your interest may not be the best thing. You know, as the song, I'm going to fail a carnal test here, but you might not always get what you want, but sometimes you get what you need. All right. That's so important for us to understand. Job was a great example of somebody who went through it, and it was a hope that maketh not ashamed. When it was said and done, he was richer, he had more children, and he had a stronger faith, and a more righteous Job at the end. You never know what's happening. You know, you have a choice to make. I'll say this and I'll be done. But a young lady walked in to her dad's house one day. She was extremely upset, and she had had a hard day at work and just very emotional. So he said, hold on. And he got three pans, and you've probably heard this. He got a potato and put it in one, an egg and put it in one, and then coffee and put it in the other. And he boiled them, and he said, now I want you to, and he, you know, mashed the potato up, peeled the egg, and he poured the coffee in through the strainer and poured the coffee. And he said, now I want you to tell me what happened. And she's like, well, the water made the potato soft. The water made the egg hard. The water didn't do anything to the coffee. The coffee changed the water. And he said, exactly, be the change. Don't let your circumstances dictate how you respond. You become the change. And we saw that so much through scripture. You find that time and again. The importance of character and hope will make it where you can endure. And in the long run, you will have changed the trajectory of somebody's life, just like Joseph did. He changed the trajectory of an entire nation through his trials, but because of his hope. That's the benefits we have as a believer.
Amen. Now good time for some prayer requests, yes, sir.